All right, welcome. We are plugged in. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And it's Monday the 16th of September, Monday night here in Sydney, Australia. Great to have you on board. So these are just basically podcasts I'm doing. They're just really personal observations, to be honest. I was walking around the house and I just sat down now. I don't have anything in front of me. So it's just getting to the point now where it's really hard to communicate what you really feel with people now. So, you know, why not keep talking? And if listeners are plugging in and members on the website, they may be feeling the same way. So it's good to chat about these things. And, you know, I put the word out to listeners as well. If you'd like to do any podcasts here with me, feel free to message me in the members area. Is even, you know, all the guests I've spoken to over the years, you know, there's just certain guests that I keep getting on because I communicate with them very well. So it's all really hard. But I was thinking about this today, you know, if I could ask people, the folks out there listening to this, how many real friends do you have now at your age? You know, because I think sort of growing up, I had, you know, so many friends, you know, so many friends when you're a kid and growing up through high school and everything like that. And when you're in your 20s and everything like that, have so many friends around. And then I guess everyone sort of just whittles away and disappears. And that's expected. I mean, you know, that's the way that the things are. And I kind of look around now. It seems like people have a lot of people around them all the time. I don't really know what's going on. Maybe it's hard to judge, but everyone just kind of disappears out of your life, you know. And I mean, how many real friends do you have in your life that you could put your life in their hands, you know, your family's life in their hands? How many real, and I mean real, meat and potatoes friends do you have? You know, I don't even need one hand to count them. And, you know, the folks that listen to this podcast are probably more important than most people that I know. It's crazy. Over the years, when you start to look into all this stuff that we talk about on this podcast, and I go through on the website, and you start to look at the world differently around you and everything, you know, it just seems to get harder. It's a real hard one. I mean, I was just talking to Jim West last weekend. I do a lot of podcasts with Jim, and he's looking at moving at the moment, but having family problems and things like that. He was similar, you know. Most of the guests that I have on this podcast, they say the same thing. They've been through tremendous disagreements and problems, even within their own families, putting out the kind of information and books that they do, you know. And it's not about who's smarter or who's dumber or anything like that. Or, you know, a lot of people walking around out there right now are a hell of a lot smarter than me. It's not that. It's just a way that you see the world around you and the way that you think. It's just differently. And, you know, I can't tap into the rhythm of life now. I can't tap into it. It creates personal problems in my own family life because I'm thinking about all this stuff all the time and I'm not tapping into where I should be. And I understand that family life and children and working and paying your bills in this matrix system is important. I mean, otherwise you don't live. I mean, you have to continue. It overwhelmingly consumes you after a while. And it's like I'm probably one of those people that looks worried all the time. I'm a pretty relaxed person, but it chips away at you, doesn't it? When you're looking at all this every night and you're reading about different stuff, I'm just not on the same wavelength as everybody else. I mean, I enjoy everyday things. I'll watch happening in the news. I'll watch what's happening in the papers. I try to tap in with that. I like certain sports, things like that. I like rugby union, and so I probably watch a little bit of that coming up. I like certain documentaries and very certain movies, and just to chill out as well. And I love doing this on a personal level, and it's kind of like a hobby as well. I love talking to the guests that I talk to because they're like me in a way, much smarter. But I like talking to them because they're writing books and they're putting websites out and information, and they've got followers and... It's a really good thing too, isn't it? But how many people do you connect with on a personal level day to day in your lives? That's the question, isn't it? You get to this point, you get to, you know, that point in your life where you sort of look around and say, I don't really have any real friends anymore. It's a crazy thing, you know. It's weird. I don't even really have any family that I can speak to in regards to all of this stuff, and friends and things like that. You might meet up with everyone so deeply embedded in their own lives and with their children and just the day-to-day routines. It's all about that. That's what consumes them, and that's what consumes the conversation. And, you know, I don't bombard people at all. I don't go out anywhere. If someone's not into what I am, I don't say anything. I'm a pretty quiet person. I don't push my opinions onto anyone. If someone asks me about things or they seem open-minded or they want to talk about different things, even debate a little bit, I'm fine with that, but I don't push my opinion onto anyone. But they're really, even I have some close friends that just aren't into anything that I'm into, say for example Port Arthur or 9/11, they still believe the official story of 9/11, and I don't understand how they could do that. I can't understand, even if they would come part the way, they don't. They believe the official story that Osama bin Laden did it and all of this, so they believe, you know, Port Arthur, that Martin Bryant was the killer, and they'll believe that until they die. And if you try to go into them, if you're having a few beers with them or whatever, or a barbecue or something like that, and you're with these friends and you start talking about this, it can start to cause frictions or cracks within the relationship, you know. It's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, I don't expect people around me to think the same way that I do. I know people like that. They want everyone to think like they do, and if you don't, they cast you out. I don't do that, you know. If someone doesn't see the world the way that I do, that's fine. That's their journey. They're on their own trip, man. They're on their own life's journey. That's fine. They're going to go their own way. I'm not going to push anyone to believe anything. That's why I'm doing this podcast now. I believe that the members that are plugging in with me on this website, they kind of think this way as well. But it's hard now. I was thinking about that a lot lately, you know. How many real friends can I sit down to and talk with? it's kind of hard doing this kind of work and these podcasts and putting up the website every day and the information. I mean, there's just so much overwhelming information coming through, and it's just sort of what I'm into now. But I can't sit down with anyone outside of what I'm doing now with people that are supposed to be friends or anyone else and talk about this stuff. And, you know, it's amazing. I used to work at a place, or a few places, you know, and working with men and guys mostly, like who would be my age or younger or older, whatever it is, and the stuff they talk about, I just couldn't believe it. And then, you know, on Friday afternoon, they would go out for drinks after work, and that's fine. I like to chill out and wind down and whatever, but I just couldn't connect into the conversation. It was just so plain and ordinary and dumb. And, you know, some of the stuff people talk about, I just want to jump out a window. But I sit there and I play the part, and I don't do it with discontent or any kind of vague nastiness or anything like that. I'm in there. I'm there. I'm happy to be there. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to get down on people because they're talking about things that I don't like. As I said, they're probably on a much higher level than me with what they're talking about. It's just that I'm not interested. And then, as I said, you become this kind of shady driver, you know, this person rolling through life, playing out these character roles, just trying to fit in. It's really hard. And you know, you can go and walk the streets, you can go really anywhere, and I listen into people's conversations, and it's really amazing. Everyone's just so embedded in their own lives. And it's crazy. I was just out around parts of Sydney last weekend, around parts of Sydney Harbour National Park, taking some photos of some old lighthouses and things like that. And we were just at a beach there that was quite popular. And it was just sitting there and having something to eat and a swim. And it was amazing to look at the people around, and there's these couples walking up towards us and sat right next to me, and a guy and a girl. They looked like they were tourists, maybe European, and they were on the phone, on the mobile phones, the whole time they walked up the beach. I was watching them the whole time they walk up the beach on the phones. They weren't even looking where they were going, and they walked up. And one of them had the mobile phone in the left hand and one had the mobile phone in the right hand, and they put their towels down, their bag, and they kind of set up almost on autopilot or unconsciously. And what I mean by that is that they set their towels up in their bag and they got their costumes on and everything and sat down and then went onto their stomachs and started look and were still on the phones. It's like a juggling act. It was absolutely incredible to watch. They didn't put the phones down and then undress or put the phone down and get their bags down and get things ready and then look at the phone. They were on the phone looking in the screen with their thumbs, looking at whatever they're looking at the whole time that they did this whole process. It was absolutely amazing to see. It's kind of like driving a car without your hands and just looking on a phone, and the car's just driving. It was really strange to watch these people, maybe people in their mid-20s, and they were buried. They were embedded. They were saturated into these mobile phone devices the whole time, and then they both never said a word to each other. There was no contact. There was not even one word said between them. They just did this whole process while looking into the phone and then laid down on their stomachs and just were looking into the phone, smiling and talking to themselves, but not each other. It was a bizarre display. And I'm seeing this so much lately, and I saw this article the other day that came up in the, I think it was Yahoo News, it is, I got it here, And it was a shocking moment that a woman hit by a car after stepping onto a road looking at her phone. And I'm seeing a lot of these lately, and I didn't sort of notice them at first. I saved a few articles, and this was another one that came up, and it was a heart-stopping dash cam footage has shown the moment a woman was struck by a car after stepping out onto a busy highway while staring at her phone. So the vehicle was traveling along the Princess Highway. So this is in Sydney, and the Princess Highway is really busy. That's basically when you want to go south of Sydney down to the south coast, you would go on the Princess Highway. And it's a busy one, man. There's a lot of cars, a lot of traffic on the Princess Highway any given day. Very, very busy. And so the vehicle was traveling there on Monday just before midday when suddenly the woman made a sudden beeline to cross the road. Going to talk about this in a minute, and with no time to get out of the car's way, the 23-year-old woman could do was just all she could do was just brace for impact. Boom. So she was shown sliding swiftly up the bonnet before violently smacking her head and tumbling into the bitumen as the car came to a stop. Luckily for the woman, the vehicle was only traveling 45 kilometers an hour. She's pretty lucky because it's usually around 60. That would be enough to kill you, I think, 60 kilometers an hour. I've seen people get killed, hit by that. I got hit by a car many years ago, probably in the mid 90s or the late 90s, but I wasn't looking at a phone. It was just an accident. I was a bit lost in the at that time, and just walked in front of a car. It was kind of a van, I think. But my head smashed into the windscreen, and it knocked me quite away, sort of up a hill. She hit me pretty. The lady was pretty shaken, but the whole thing I don't remember. It's just black. I can't remember any of it. Not even walking in front of the car. It's amazing how your mind just wipes those bad moments out. Just blanks them out of your life. I have no recollections of it. Just stumbled in front of a car. I could have been killed. I just remember kind of waking up and the ambulance driver's asking me my name, but I didn't know. For a few seconds there, it's really weird, asking me my name, and I didn't know what it was. So they took me to the hospital, and I had some scans, lost most of the skin on my back and the back of my arms and the back of my legs, and I damaged my knee in there, where you get the ligament kind of broken up a little bit, and hit my head pretty hard, but everything came out okay. I was sore for a few weeks, I tell you. But the actual guys that dropped me off in the ambulance, they came back later to the hospital to visit me because they couldn't believe that I either wasn't dead or that I didn't sustain some serious injuries. They were just telling me how lucky they were because they saw how far the car knocked me really far. And I don't know, just dodged a bullet there, I really did. These cars, people walking in front of cars, I had some friends killed walking in front of cars, and I've known other people that walked in front of them as well. I'm not saying that it never happens, I'm just saying that it's an amazing day and age when people are walking into oncoming traffic onto a freeway or something on the phone. So it's saying here is the lady, she laid on the road in pain. People came rushing in, obviously, to assist her. And so police said the woman was treated at the scene by an off-duty paramedic, Lucky. And then she was taken to the Prince Alfred Hospital in a stable condition. So she received some treatment there. She's all right. So there you go. It just goes on with the story a little bit more. But she walked into oncoming traffic on a phone. And as I said before, I'm not saying people don't walk in front of cars. I did it, but I didn't do it on a phone. And it was just like those people on the beach. I've been seeing people anyway. Going back to the beach situation, after we did the walk to the lighthouse, and then we sat down, it just started getting busier and busier and busier. And these people came up, and they were on the phones all the time. And then I saw more. And then these people came and sat in front of me. This kind of big guy and a girl, they came and sat like right in front of you, they'll sit on your face if they can. It's amazing. And that's my cue to get out of there. But I was looking them as well, and they walked up on their phones as well. And they put the towel down, holding the phone at the same time, and then they sat on the towels, and they didn't speak to each other either. And then the guy had his phone kind of, he was in front of us, so I could see the screen a little bit. And it looked like he was just on YouTube or something, and he was just going from video to video like that, just really quickly. And I was just thinking, wow, my God, what have we become, man? This is unbelievable. And it was just everywhere. And I was just thinking, people can't just go down the beach and swim and enjoy the salty sea air and sit on the sand and even sunbake anymore. They're on their phones. They're walking into cars on their phones. And I've said this on other podcasts. People are walking around the shops and the streets and everywhere. And they just expect or assume that you're going to move out of their way. And they're the ones who are not looking. They're staring into a phone, just walking. And they just walk straight into you. It's really amazing. How did we become like this? It really, I'm baffled. I just can't believe it. And now I'm seeing children doing it. And I've said this before many times. You kind of walk outside. Now you feel like you're in some kind of weird Twilight Zone episode. It really is bizarre behavior. It's really strange. And I don't even really take my phone out. If I take my phone out and I go walking like that, I the only reason I bring my phone is for photos. I don't really like having it in my pocket, so I'll stuff it in my bag. I'll leave it in the car a lot of the times too. I think some of the new modern phones, I like them because they've got really good video cameras and cameras. And then, you know, if you're traveling, it's quite light and they're easy to take and then plug into your computer when you get home and you've got all these great photos. Looking at these people doing that and then sort of getting a peek at the content that they're looking at, the guy was looking at rubbish. It really was. It was just rubbish. It wasn't important. And they're not even talking to each other. I find this really incredible. And I've been out here and there and run into people, from back in school or whatever it may be, and they're all on phones as well. It's not only that you can't have a conversation about what we're talking about now, but you can't have a conversation with them at all because they're staring into the phone. It's amazing. You can almost say, I jumped on a bicycle last night and I rode to the moon. You know, and they're like, yeah, really, right. And they're looking on the phone. It's amazing things. So it's absolutely incredible to me. And to see that last weekend was an amazing display. Young couples staring into phones and becoming so good at being able to do everything that they need to do around them, they'll go out and they'll get something to eat, for example. So they'll walk up to the restaurant or the coffee shop on the phone, and they'll get a table and they'll sit down, and they're still on the phone. They haven't even looked at what's in front of them, and then they'll order things on the phone. Like, they'll give quick glimpses at the menu or the person or all the stuff, but they'll be back on the phone, and they're doing all this multitasking while they're on phones. Really incredible. I couldn't do that. You can see them. They're on the phone. They might be talking to someone about ordering a coffee or something like that, and their thumb's moving down the phone screen, and they're kind of looking at that as well. So it's like this kind of psychotic, schizoid multitasking that they're doing. And then they'll sit there, and you've got a couple sitting there, and they're waiting for their coffee, their meal to come on the road or, you know, out front of a coffee shop, and they're on these phones, just boom, 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 going through all this content, using up all the data. And then the meal comes, and they're eating, and they're on the phone. It's crazy. And then they pay, and they get up, and they walk off down the street, and they're on the phones. And that's something kind of fairly new that I've seen, that multitasking and doing things, I mean, like that when you're actually on a phone. Isn't that remarkable? not last weekend, but the weekend before, I was at a local pet store just getting some oat and hay because I got some chickens, or silky chickens, in this thing for them. Anyway, it was a nice day. It was around lunch, and chucked it in the car. And right across the fence, like right there in front of me, there's this brand new McDonald's. The McDonald's has been there for quite a long time, but they've redone it all. They've redone the whole thing, and they've got this whole like labyrinth, like this drive-through maze. Now it's really amazing. Notice how like Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's and Coca-Cola and even Santa Claus for Christmas and all these, they use that kind of dark red color. It's interesting, isn't it? That's like yeah, that's a really exciting color, isn't it? It triggers that part of the brain that makes you want to consume and buy. They all use the same color. So it's full of that yellow and that red on this thing, and they got this new McDonald's store, very fancy, very nice, unbelievable. And this place is bloody packed. It is so packed. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. I just sit there and I just sit there in amazement that people are eating this stuff. I do not understand it. I can't comprehend it. I didn't grow up on it. My parents never took us to any McDonald's store. We always ate at home. I did not grow up on it. I don't think I've ever had it outside some fries. And I can't think of ever eating it. And that's honest, 100%. I never went there. And I think that's the thing. You know, of course my little ones, you know, never been there and never will. That's why they have all the children's playgrounds and everything like that. Believe me, McDonald's have top child psychologists working for them. They know that when they get children in eating that food when they're very young, especially when they're just starting to eat, even, you know, 1.5 to 2 years old or whatever it is, and they bring them in the prams, and they and then the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-old and the 10-year-olds, and they play there, and they got the clown. Man, that's a psychological operation, you know. That's stalking. The McDonald's clown, Ronald McDonald, is a stalker. And, you know, that's unbelievable. You see some of those American ads on YouTube, have a look at them. They're absolutely creepy. Using a clown to sell death. That's what they're doing. This stuff is absolutely death. And I know in Australia they've tried to put different faces on it and make it look more healthier over the years and everything like that, but it's the same slop. And this particular McDonald's is pretty amazing. And I was just decided to sit in the driver's seat of the car, and just kind of it was a nice kind of warm day, and I was just watching them for a while, and I had the music on and just decided to sit there and watch these cars, and it was just car after car, and it was kind of like a rat's maze. That's how I sort of saw it, you know. They were driving in, and then there was this big menu board, and it was so colorful and had all these burgers and things like that. That's the one thing about McDonald's I never understood, how they got away with it, because you look at how they advertise the look of their burgers, and it doesn't look like that at all. You go in and you buy a Big Mac, it's absolutely disgusting. It doesn't look like that. And I was actually speaking to a guy a while ago who's into art and stuff like that, does art for a living and works online and supplies different things for companies and things like that. And he was saying that he knew a guy that worked in the industry where they work with the, you know, ads, how they make things look, and all the different chemicals and all the different ways that they make food look. It's really astonishing, some of the stuff he was telling me, how they you know, when they have the ads on TV, and how they make burgers look and drinks look and the fizz and the ice and everything like that. It's just amazing. And so everything's made and manufactured to look a certain way, and that's why they use the bright reds and everything to excite you, to get you addicted. That's why people get so overweight, because the food's empty. And but they definitely it's like the cigarette companies, isn't it? I was speaking to this about Jim West. I don't believe there's anything wrong with pure organic sun-dried tobacco. If you smoke that, I'm not saying to smoke. I'm just saying that I don't think that it causes all these cancers and everything that they're saying. I think that the sprays and the pesticides and what they add to the cigarettes is causing maybe the cancers and stuff like that. But they definitely add weapons into those cigarettes. You know, whether they're chemicals or whatever they are that cross the blood-brain barrier of the smokers and makes them addictive. And they're saying that nicotine is addictive. I don't know. I'm out on that. I'm trying to look into that. I don't know if, you know, because you look at the Native American Indians, you look at cultures that have smoked for generations and they don't have all these cancers and they don't seem to be addicted. They seem to enjoy it. That's a weird thing, and I'm wondering, because McDonald's are so tight, they're so they got so much obviously wealth and everything. I'm wondering what they put into their food that they're able to put that out onto the street, because you drive past it or you're around a McDonald's restaurant, like Subway sandwiches as well, and these places, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I guess all these places, they have that smell. It seems to be pumped out of the air fence. And McDonald's have that smell, and I'm thinking for people who are overweight or risking obesity, you know, and they're eating and they think they're full, and then they smell that smell. And it's a chemical sort of makeup, so it's like tricking a part of their brain to making them feel hungry again. So they just keep eating and eating and eating because it's just empty carbs. And their body's not getting the nutrition that it needs. If your body gets the nutrition it needs, even in small amounts of food, you will feel full because you're getting what you need. But you eat this stuff, they're always constantly hungry, obviously, when they're smelling that, because I could smell it. It was being pumped out. And I'm like, how do these people get away with that? How do they get away with pumping the smell out into the streets? Why isn't anybody talking about that or asking about that? Because they've got a restaurant, but that smell's going all the way down the street. You know, so the zombies are walking along on their phones and they're like, get a whiff of the smell, like out of those cartoons, you know, where they float in the air. And they float into the McDonald's restaurant, you know. That's luring victims, isn't it? It's like a pedophile luring a child into the bush. That's why I said these people are stalkers. And they stalk you and they stalk your kids. And I was watching these car after car after car after car after car go through there. It was astonishing. I was just sitting there watching it. And this was probably over about 10 or 15 minutes. I lost count of how many cars went through. And so they drive through, they go to this big, colourful sign, and you could hear them, Big Mac, this meal, this one. And then the woman's like, I take your order, drive round. And then they go round in a circle through the rat maze, because that's what it is. It's a rat maze. They're putting you through a rat maze. And they go through there, and then they go to another window where they pay, and then they go to another window where they pick up the meal. And then I was watching some of them come out around the side, and they couldn't even wait. They had to park and then scoff it down. Scoffing it down. And then they're slopping down coffee or thick shakes or, you know, Coke on top of it. I used to work with people like this, with young guys in their 20s, even younger. At lunch, they would go to Hungry Jack's or things like that, Hungry Jack's and McDonald's, and they'd come back and they'd eat one of these packaged meals, you know, the cheeseburger and the chips and the sweets and the milkshake or whatever. Oh my God. And then they'd go out and smoke a half a pack of cigarettes and then drink like a 1.5 liter jug of Coke. Their fingers were yellow from smoking. Wow. Yeah. From the butts, I guess. So that's plastic in there. It looks like a cotton thing inside the cigarette butts that they use to filter the smoke through. It looks like a cotton. It's a photo film plastic, and it's burning holes in your lungs. It's almost like microfiberglass in there. It's a form of plastic that people are inhaling. It's actually splintering their lungs. So dangerous stuff. So people are inhaling these fumes from plastic as well through that. And that stuff, that's why it doesn't break down, because it's a form of plastic. Yeah, and it's got that yellow kind of paper around it as well. So dangerous stuff, man. That's not like the organic tobacco I was talking about. This is like an actual weapon within itself, just the butt of cigarettes. That yellow butt at the end. And they use all sorts of chemicals, I guess, in there, or that sort of material, so it doesn't burn your fingers when you're holding it, because the cigarette's heating it up when you toke it, you know, when you smoke it down. It doesn't burn your fingers like a rolly might. Could be one of, you know, this stuff could be really deadly. I mean, they're still looking into it. You know, and then people are throwing those butts on the ground. They just don't break down. And anyway, yeah, I was watching these people come pull around a McDonald's, and they're eating, they're scoffing this stuff down with their children in the car, and the children are eating it as well. I think I told that story on the podcast a few times. I actually did go to McDonald's a while ago, maybe about a year ago. I don't know when it was, and I ordered a cheeseburger. There was all these pimply teenagers in line there, and I ordered a cheeseburger, and I kept it in my shed for months and months and months. And it really didn't go off. It was still looked exactly the same. It just dried out a little bit, but it was the same. I mean, the meat didn't go off. Wouldn't that stink? The meat in that and the cheese and stuff like that, if that was real food. I mean, I had it in there for months. I don't even know how long I'd be assuming it was about 8 months. Then I got sick of it and I threw it in the bin, but it didn't go off. And I kept it in the packaging as well, and I just chucked it on a shelf in an old shed. It's full of cobwebs and bolts and nuts and rubbish in there. And I don't even think it attracted cockroaches or rats. Maybe they wouldn't eat it. I mean, if a rat wouldn't eat it, humans eat it. Again, I was at a local mall the other weekend outside the Hoyts Cinema, Hoyts Movies, and I was walking through and picking up some stuff, and there's, dozens and dozens of teenagers lined up at the McDonald's, quick serve one, getting cheeseburgers and fries and everything like that, and I'm thinking, man, rats mightn't even eat that. That stuff doesn't go off. What's that going to do in your stomach when you eat it? It didn't go off. It didn't smell or anything. There wasn't even any mold on it. They've never answered to this. They're telling you that it's 100% pure beef and it's fresh and all of this, man. But that stuff doesn't go off. I saw it. I had a cheeseburger for 9 months, I think it was, nearly. That did not go off. It just went dry around the top of the bread. But if you opened it up, the cheese was still yellow. Very strange kind of yellow, and it still smelt like the same. Like if you put that after 9 months in a shed into a microwave, it would be a McDonald's cheeseburger. You know, incredible, isn't it? That's a weapon in itself, man. And you're eating that stuff. People are eating that. Then they're putting like frozen thick shakes and stuff on top of it. It's just grotesque. I've just got to the point where I have to be honest now. I think if people give their children that, that's child abuse. I'm a child abuser because I don't want to vaccinate my child and poison them for no reason, from imaginary made up diseases and viruses. But I'm a bad person because I don't want to take my child down to a local medical center and have some numbskull doctor inject my child with toxic chemicals and poisons, you know. That's not child abuse, you know. And the thing is, the really simple thing that people do not understand and they are not asking themselves is, look how bloody cheap it is. Look how cheap it is. Look how cheap this stuff is. Look at you watch the ads on TV. They got burgers for $1 and $2. They got $2 Happy Meals. You don't get that's the cheapest food on this planet. You look at all this food, it's always been the same. I can go back 10 years, 20 years. You can go back and back. It's always the same price. It's always cheap. The Coca-Cola and everything, but everything else increases. You know, everything around you increases. I mean, if you go out somewhere nice, I think it was actually for Father's Day, actually, we went to a local brewery where they brew beer, Australian beer, they brew it at that place. You can go and have a look at how they do it. Oh, it's amazing. Comes right out of the tap. Had some nice beers, very malty beers there, very nice. And they make these burgers, like handmade burgers. I think I got a fish one, a bit of a fish burger or something like that, you know. It was okay, but, you know, geez, the meal all up for us was like $80, you know. I mean, the you know, like a schooner or whatever this beer, you know, is $10 and all this. So you pay for food now. When you go out and you eat, you pay for food. This stuff's like $2. Why? Because they want you to eat it. They want you to have it. They've always wanted you to have it. They want the rats to eat the poison. You know, they want your children to eat the poison, and they want to poison you off. I'm convinced that food like McDonald's causes, for example, bowel cancer. Absolutely positive. And now, see what they're doing? They've got us addicted to all this stuff, all this McDonald's food and these burgers and these bacon burgers and all this dripping, melting cheese and all these, like, over-the-top hamburgers and all this fast food junk places. And now they got all these ads on TV where they want you to put your poo in a bag and send it to them because everybody's getting bowel cancer. So it's unbelievable. I mean, you can type into your search engine and have a look if you think that McDonald's causes bowel cancer, but there's a whole lot of warnings out there. Even the WHO, they came out and said that these kind of McDonald's slices of bacon, this is heavily processed or smoked meats or whatever you get in the packs that they buy. This is a long way from an actual pig that got slaughtered, mind you. I mean, this is a heavily processed meat that McDonald's use in their burgers, you know, and things like that. And people are just gobbling down this bacon. They're saying that just a couple of servings of this bacon a week, you know, can increase your chance of getting bowel cancer, you know. There's been many warnings about McDonald's food and their bacon burgers and all of these bacon things for years, even coming out of the medical establishment themselves, you know, saying, I mean, it's so overwhelming that it causes bowel cancer. So I think this kind of food is cancerous. All that kind of highly processed stuff that you get that's wrapped up in the supermarkets, you know, like Devon and salami and all this kind of bacon and things like that, I think it causes bowel cancer, to be honest. Especially if you're not getting enough raw, fresh nutrition into your diet, you know. So it's a real worry. And I pulled up an article, many articles, quite a new one actually from this year. It was talking about McDonald's are being forced to crack down on cancer-causing chemicals in their food. You can find this anywhere. So these are all these food standards agencies, but they know people aren't going to put these burgers down because they're addicted. Obviously, they're putting some kind of chemicals, like the cigarette companies do, into those burgers that crosses the blood-brain barrier of humans that eat it, and they get addicted. Or there's something that they're putting in the smell of those burgers, when you smell it, that's crossing the blood-brain barrier, or it's triggering parts of your brain, you know, to make you want that food. One of these things that they came out with was acrylamide. Could pose serious cancer risks. If anyone wants to look that up, it's acrylamide, acrylamide. So McDonald's have come out pounding their chest saying, well, they're going to look at reducing the levels of this stuff in their food, which is incredible. So they were saying that this stuff is all through their fries and their toast and all of this and their burgers, I guess. And it's you got a high risk of developing cancer if you eat this stuff. So in animal studies, they've shown links to this as well. It's a bit shady whether it's been found in humans, but it is, isn't it? Because cancer's everywhere. It's amazing with so much cancer that you see, there's cancer absolutely everywhere. Oh, but of course, none of it's linked to any of this food or their vaccines or their drugs or anything like that, anything that they feed us or put into the environment, because it's just not proven, is it? You know, there's no studies done on it, so it just couldn't be. So this would be to do with their frying and their deep fryers as well. Absolutely disgusting. Deep frying all those potatoes, highly cancerous. The type of potatoes that McDonald's use as well, they're highly cancerous. Don't know if people are aware of that. It's an interesting stuff. Looking at the potatoes, nightshades, and the type of potatoes that McDonald's use, and the frying process is definitely highly cancerous. I saved this one here. McDonald's fries 15 ingredients linked to brain damage, cancer, and more. Recent expose of McDonald's French fry making process revealed a number of ingredients used in it have been linked to brain damage, autoimmune disorders, and cancer, and more. Grant Imahara of Mythbusters fame recently visited the McDonald's fry factory to find out exactly what McDonald's fries are made of. During the process, Imahara reverse engineered McDonald's fries to find out the 15 ingredients that they are made up of. The ingredients are as follows. It'd be hard to go through some of these with the wording, but potatoes, canola oil, which is highly cancerous, carcinogenic, that's actually rapeseed oil, soybean oil, really bad, hydrogenerated soybean oil, natural beef flavor, hydrolyzed wheat, hydrolyzed milk, citric acid, dimethylopolysiloxanine, I don't even know how to say that, it's dimethylpolysiloxane, dextrose, sodium acid, pyrophosphate, salt, hydrogenated oil, and TBHQ. One of these, dimethylpolysiloxane, I can't even pronounce it, that's the one that I said before. This is a compound that is commonly used in aquarium tank sealants, hair conditioners, and silly putty. I've heard that before, actually, ages ago, the silly putty thing. You know, the silly putty you buy for the kids? I don't, but people buy it. Sometimes it can even contain formaldehyde, great, a well-known toxic chemical that has been linked to brain damage, allergies, and autoimmune disorders and cancer, TBHQ. This is tertiary butt hydro. Quinine, I think. Far out. This is a type of phenol that is used to prevent deterioration of food. There you go. What I was talking about before. The deterioration of their hamburgers. They don't go off. So that's, it's a phenol. It's often found in substances such as perfume and biodiesel. Hydrogenated soya bean oil. So the that's really bad stuff there. So this oil has come under criticism for the unhealthy effects it has had on people who consume it regularly, according to researchers at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. At least 100,000 cardiac deaths that happened every year in the United States could have been prevented if people replace these trans fats, obviously, with more healthier oils like olive oil or coconut oil. The release of this information for the public is part of what McDonald's calls the Our Food, Your Questions campaign, which is an initiative to make nutritional information more available to customers. So that's a load of crap, isn't it? But there you go. That's pretty hardcore. When you look at that, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's like people eating margarine, you know, because they demonized some fats, you know, they demonized like butter, and get people on margarine with all these soya bean oils and canola oil. They're trying to push canola oil as a healthy food. But I mean, would you give you what I just read out is a pretty simple thing. I can't pronounce some of these things, but I'd have to look into them myself, some of the actual chemicals. But is this something that you would feed your kids? You know? I mean, wow. God. Interesting here, because I've read a lot about this as well, about the stuff that I was interested in, like this TBHQ. It's like a petroleum-based butane-like ingredient used to prevent the deterioration of food, what I was reading out before. So its main purpose is to like extend the storage life of a product. So this is not good. This explains to people why the food products do not show signs of decomposing. And that's what I was talking about before. I really proved it to myself. I went and go and buy yourself a cheeseburger and chuck it in the shed. Wrap it up and put it in a drawer. And then just forget about it. Put it in a cupboard. Start off with a cheeseburger or some fries. Have a look. That's amazing. So it sort of stops them from decomposing. And so this is from petroleum, you know. So I was reading about this a while back as well. It's an artist from Manhattan, Sally Davies. She photographed a McDonald's Happy Meal every day for 6 months, and it looks almost as fresh as the day it was bought, with no traces of decay. So the TBHQ is also used for used as a fixative to lower the evaporation rate and improve stability in the perfumes. So it's also used in biodiesel as a corrosion inhibitor. Interesting how it's been linked, this particular one, to asthma and skin conditions, hormone disruption, hypersensitivity in children, you know, and all these kind of stuff, cancer and damage to the DNA. How big's asthma now, and skin conditions, you know? I mean, bang, 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 asthma, skin conditions, hormone disruptions, hypersensitivity in children. It's a weapon against children. It's a weapon. This is a weapon. This is a military-grade weapon directed at your children, into their bodies. To damage them for life, to damage their DNA, to make them sick and dependent on the medical system, and also a slave to it. And I have to go back to sitting in the car watching parents driving through the McDonald's drive-thru getting these meals and Happy Meals and feeding it to their kids in the car in the car park. That's not child abuse. Why aren't the Australian mainstream media fucking mongrels getting up there on TV and saying that's child abuse? Why are they calling us child abuse for not vaccinating? Why am I a child abuser? Why am I a bad parent? Because I don't vaccinate my child. I'm an anti-vaxxer. I'm evil. You know? I'm the evil one. I'm the one who has to be watched and monitored. I'm the one who's going on Facebook and putting out all misinformation. Our channels, our websites are the ones that need to be cracked down on. We're the terrorists. We're the bad ones. I'm a bad person. But these people aren't. You're feeding your children a fucking weapon designed to slowly poison them over a period of time. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. And I saw it. This is 2019, folks. I saw it the other day. I sat there and I watched endless cars in and out, in and out, in and out. It goes on all day. And they just keep eating it. They just keep coming back for it. The rats keep coming back for the bait. You know? I know a person who's in the pest control industry, and I was talking to them about the different baiting systems they use now, because people say that it's cruel with the old sort of baiting systems that they would use for the rats. And one new baiting system was like this little, it's like a black box, and it's got an entrance and an exit, because rats are very, very paranoid. And you'll see when you've got rat problems, they use the same pathways, you know, the exact same pathways every night, and they come through. And so they put these bait traps up, the black boxes, and there's an entrance and an exit, and they've got this new type of bait in there. That the rats kind of nibble on. It's very tasty. They like it, evidently. And so I guess the rats will stick their head in a little bit, but maybe a couple of nights they won't go in. Maybe they'll just kind of check it out, but they'll see that there's an exit. And then they'll start going in, and they might exit or come back, you know, and then they might sort of nibble on the bait, and then they'll go out, and they'll bugger off, and then they'll come back the next night, and then they'll have more of a feed. And so he was telling me that this bait, it doesn't kill them, like make them suffer or anything. They eat it and they eat it, and then they just drop dead. Bang, like a lightning bolt in the head. And that's what it does to them, but it doesn't kill them automatically. It takes a few days maybe, and then they just drop dead. This is the same with humans, isn't it? I mean, you could look at a McDonald's store as a rat bait trap, and you're going in and you're nibbling at all this stuff, and then you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you drop dead. It's amazing that we're feeding this to our kids as well, but just my thoughts on that. I mean, I could really sit here all night and talk about all the harmful chemicals and poisons in McDonald's food. It's heaps of stuff on this. It's really astonishing how much is actually in it, but... And the chicken McNuggets, has anyone seen these things? People love them. oh my God, and this stuff isn't food, folks. And imagine the animals, how they're treated, that are going into chicken McNuggets, and the beef that's going into McDonald's beef, Big Macs and stuff like that. Imagine how those animals are treated. It's all part of a fear-based system. Those animals are suffering and they're dying in fear, and that fear is being enlaced into the meat, and you're eating that fear, and it's going to give you cancer. I'm telling you 100%, it's cause and effect. You can't treat animals like this and not pay the price. And it just, with everything that we know and everything I'm saying now, these people are still lining up for their doses of poison. And it is just fascinating to me. It doesn't really bother me that much, because I don't eat it. I don't feed my kid that. I wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't want anyone I know or love or anyone to eat it, but they do. But it just fascinates me now. That's why I just sit there. I feel like I'm sitting outside of some freak show, looking in, just watching it take place. And it's like, if I walked up to these people and tried to talk about this, they'd probably punch me in the nose. It's really amazing. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks to the members for plugging in. This is a personal sort of thing for me, so I'm sort of just plugging in and going over things that I'm thinking every day or whatever. I hope the listeners enjoy that, and I thank you very much for plugging in. Basically, shouting me a cup of coffee each month allows me to just keep the website up and running and looking nice, and hopefully adding some more as we go along. I hope listeners, the members, enjoy these kind of podcasts I'm doing. There's in the members lounge there. There's a little, a simple chat room for the moment. It's a very private website. My website's very private, so you can chat about anything you want there and ask me anything, and get the conversation started if you would like. If you have any questions or whatever you would like, and if you want to email me personally, you can do that at crasmembers@yahoo.com. So good night. Thanks for listening.